So we've got a couple of more devotions left in the Old Testament before we reach the New Testament, that revelation of God's grand plan of salvation in the person of Jesus, his son. Now, if we're only going to do a couple more Old Testament devotions, that means we're not going to get into every detail of those first 39 books, right? So this time I want to do an overview of the Old Testament prophets. There's 17 of the Old Testament books are considered the prophets, and each book is unique, and you're only going to grasp the meaning of the book by considering who's writing, who is being written to, and what is the time frame, what's the occasion for the writing. So, for example, a prophet who's writing to the unified nation of Israel before they broke into two and before either of those two were carried into captivity, he's going to have a theme that's much different than a prophet who's writing hundreds of years later to the people of Judah who are returning from captivity. Right? There are 16 prophets, 17 books, 17 themes, many different prophecies and promises, more than we're going to get into in this devotion. So instead of trying to describe exactly who all these prophets were and what their messages contained, let's start with talking about what they weren't, and hopefully this is going to make sense in a minute. When Moses was called into God's service, he was sent to with God's message to God's people. Moses was a prophet, and before Moses died, there was a promise that was made. Deuteronomy 18, verse 15 says, "The Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren, like unto me, unto him ye shall hearken." And then down in verse 18, "I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren, like unto you, and will put my words in his mouth. He'll speak unto them all that I shall command him." So God promised through Moses a prophet like Moses who should be followed and obeyed. He's going to deliver God's word. He's going to be, like Moses, a deliverer of God's people. And more is said about this promised prophet. Listen to this. Just after Moses' death, an addendum is placed at the end of his writings, probably by Joshua. And this is what it says. The last verses of Deuteronomy, 34, verses 10 through 12. "And there arose not a prophet since in Israel, like unto Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face, and in all the signs and the wonders which the Lord sent him to do in the land of Egypt, to Pharaoh and all his servants and all his land, and in all that mighty hand, and in all the great terror which Moses showed in the sight of all Israel." So, we're still waiting for a prophet, he says, a prophet who will be like Moses, because think about Moses. He's a deliverer of the people. He knows Yahweh, it says, face to face. He does miracles and wonders. He's a law-giving prophet doing mighty acts and terrifying deeds. Well, you've got a lot of prophets in the Old Testament, and they deliver God's word to the people, but they can't all be said to know Yahweh face to face like Moses. They don't all do miracles. They're not all lawgivers. They're only intermediaries between God and the people. As a matter of fact, when the New Testament opens in John 1, we find people still looking for this prophet like Moses. They gather around John the Baptist and they start asking him, "Are you the Messiah?" "No." "Okay, well, are you that prophet?" And he's not. We'll see who is here in a few minutes. But for now, that means the Old Testament prophets are, in a sense, placeholders, right? Just like the promise to David that there would be a son who would rule and reign on his throne. But there's been a lot of descendants of David who rule. But they're just keeping the seat warm for the one to whom it actually belongs, the ultimate king comes. In that sense, the Old Testament prophets are just shadows of the ultimate prophet who should come. Now, of course, they do speak on behalf of God. No Old Testament prophet came declaring his own thoughts and opinions. So look at this, just some examples from Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel. Hosea, Joel, Jonah, Micah, Zephaniah, Haggai, Zechariah, all of them say the word of the Lord came to Isaiah, or the word of the Lord came to me. Maybe the most well-known description is how we get 413 times in the Old Testament a prophet says, thus saith the Lord, right? This is what God says. So when a prophet of God spoke, they were speaking the word of God, delivering his message with his meaning. And it's important that we grasp this because it gives us no leeway in interpreting and trying to find special meanings for ourselves, right? Peter wrote about this later as giving the prophecies a private interpretation. If you've ever heard someone say, well, I know what it means to you, but this is what it means to me. Yeah, well, when the prophets speak, it only means what God means, right? Here's how Peter says it in 2 Peter 1, verses 20 and 21. Knowing this first, that no prophet of the scriptures is of any private interpretation, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. You know, we talk about this as inspiration. They wrote as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. Now, many times they were moved in unique ways, right? Some received God's word by an audible voice, others by an internal unction of the Spirit, some by daytime visions, others in dreams as they slept. That was all part of God's plan. The writer of Hebrews begins his book by saying, God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets. So he's saying, look, different times, different ways, different prophets, all speaking God's word. Now, we're going to come back to that Hebrews 1 in just a moment. But the way the prophets declared the word of God can really be broken down into two categories. Despite all the different ways they received it and the different means by which they spoke, the two categories would be foretelling, that is, they predicted what would happen in the future. Many times that's what we think of as the prophet's job, but it's more than just prediction. The other category is forthtelling, right? Declaring what God demands of his people in the present. We like the foretelling part so much that we tend to overlook this, but I'm convinced it was a major portion of their work. They would warn people to turn away from their sins, to destroy false idols. Prophets would give God's word about going to war or not going to war. They might sometimes say, you know, don't enter into that treaty with Pharaoh, or even like Jeremiah, you should just surrender Jerusalem to the Babylonians. And it's those practical messages to their present-day countrymen that often got them killed, or In the words of Stephen in Acts chapter 7, which of the prophets did your fathers not persecute? Right. So we shouldn't overlook the forthtelling work just to get to the foretelling. But of course, that's what we really like to study. And the reasons are obvious. When a prophet of God foretells something, and then we see it come to pass exactly as it was foretold, it's pretty amazing. And so you can read in Daniel, for example, about the rise and fall of world empires and then see it happen exactly the way he predicted. Individually, there are too many predictions to deal with in one devotion, right? Isaiah's prediction of the virgin birth, or Micah's prediction that the Messiah would be born in Bethlehem, or how Zechariah foretold him riding into Jerusalem on a donkey. So I'm going to trust that if you're doing this study, you probably know some of the Old Testament messianic prophecy. And so I want to point out two sometimes overlooked themes that we find in the prophets, in addition to what they say about the coming Messiah. And the first theme is the Holy Spirit's involvement in the Messiah's work. Right. Joel writes that in these last days, I will pour out my spirit. Ezekiel 36:27, God says, I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes. And then the next chapter over in Ezekiel 37:14, he promises to put my spirit in you and you shall live. Isaiah, in Isaiah 61:1, prophesies of the Messiah and says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound." Now Jesus in his ministry stands up in the synagogue of his hometown of Nazareth, opens the scroll of Isaiah, turns it to that passage and reads it, saying, "This day, this is fulfilled in your ears." Right? The prophets predicted the Holy Spirit's work in the coming of the Messiah. And then the other theme I want to mention is that the Messiah is going to bring salvation to Gentiles. When the gospel of Jesus begins spreading around the world in the New Testament and Gentiles believe it and are saved, we sometimes think of this as a new plan, but it was not a new plan. Even in the Old Testament, Israel was to be a missionary nation, right? They declared God's glory to all people. If you remember, we described it as they were held up as a example of what a covenant relationship with Yahweh looks like. So the prophets frequently reminded the people of that calling and predicted the future when it would be fully accomplished in the coming of the Messiah. So for example, Isaiah wrote about this purpose in Isaiah 49:6. And he said, "Is it a light thing that you should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the preserved of Israel? I will also give you for a light to the Gentiles, that you may be my salvation unto the end of the earth." Now, when Mary and Joseph bring the infant Jesus into the temple, there's this old man named Simeon who's filled with the Spirit, who takes baby Jesus in his arms and prays to God, quoting Isaiah. Actually, it's in Luke 2:30-32, he prays, he says, "My eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel." This is a theme in the Old Testament prophets, probably more than you imagine it to be. I'll give you another example. The prophet Zechariah pictured the messianic kingdom of Christ, and he describes Jewish believer in the Messiah, each one of those Jewish believers having like 10 Gentile men clinging to his robes, begging to be brought to God. Zechariah 8:23. "Thus saith the Lord of hosts, in those days it shall come to pass that 10 men shall take hold out of all languages of the nations, even shall take hold of the skirt of him that is a Jew, saying, we will go with you, for we have heard that God is with you." Look, the prophets are worth your time to study. You'll see in them examples of what it is to declare God's word to people around you, even when it's unpopular. And while you're likely familiar with many of their predictions about Jesus, you'll learn about his messianic kingdom and the work of the Holy Spirit and the incorporation of Gentiles into God's grand plan of redemption. But one thing to remember about these men is that they still are not that prophet like Moses. They are, what we say, divinely inspired placeholders, right? Until that ultimate prophet should come. I told you we'd come back to Hebrews 1. So look at what it says again. We're going to go another verse. Hebrews 1, verses 1 and 2. "God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds." Right? Many times, in many ways, God spoke to people by the prophets, but a final time, in a final way, he's speaking through his Son, Jesus. I like the writer there calls him the heir of all things, meaning he gets everything because He made the worlds. He made everything. It's Jesus who is the prophet like Moses, who knows his Father face to face, who is a deliverer of his people, who does great and wonderful miracles, who's speaking as a lawgiver. The Old Testament prophets say, right, the word of the Lord came unto me. But John's gospel opens by calling Jesus the word. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. And as many times as you get, thus saith the Lord, from the Old Testament prophets, read the gospels and listen over and over as Jesus says, verily, verily, truly, truly, I say unto you. Or imagine what it sounded like at the baptism of Jesus or the transfiguration when the voice of the Father speaks from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Listen to him. It is Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who is that ultimate prophet to whom all the other prophets point. We must hear him and obey him.